The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Children who are vaping are five times more likely to start smoking. The Health Minister, Stephen Donnelly, is seeking cabinet approval to ban the sale of nicotine-inhaling products to those aged under 18 from early in the new year. But what impact does vaping have on the health of teenagers? Well, Dr. Emmett O'Brien is consultant respiratory physician at Beaumont Hospital, honorary clinical lecturer at the RCSI, and board member of ASH, Action on Smoking and Health, the anti-tobacco advocacy organisation. Dr. Emmett O'Brien, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you for having me on.
Now, the jury is maybe still out on vaping. It's such a relatively new kind of product compared to smoking, which was around for centuries before everyone copped on that it was bad for us. Tell me about vaping and what we know about it.
Well, I suppose there's the point. We've known about the dangers for tobacco for the last 50 odd years, but before that, people weren't aware. So, you know, there's a lot of evidence that is yet to emerge on the health effects of individuals who vape. There is some evidence to show that it does contain contains some formaldehydes and other products that can potentially be damaging to the lungs. There's also some concerns that some of the flavoring that's added to the tobacco product or to the nicotine products could potentially damage the lungs in the future. More upfront, there is some evidence that it can affect the developing brain in ways that can affect attention, mood, and potentially impulse control as well. But I suppose the most certain thing that we can say that it does contain the most highly addictive drug known in terms of nicotine, and it's this nicotine addictiveness and that can drive the tobacco use in the future. So it can act as a gateway into tobacco smoking.
Now, let's get down to the nuts and bolts of vaping. Since I don't smoke myself, I've kind of no idea of what the experience of vaping is like. But effectively, it's a liquid that's heated, I presume, and then the whatever evaporates off from this heated liquid is inhaled into the lungs.
Yes, it contains a coil that uses a lithium battery to charge, or that contains charge that passes electricity through the coil that heats it to a very high temperature. That temperature can exceed 300 to 400 degrees Celsius. That causes immediate vaporization of the liquid that's contained in the container, and then that vapor is then inhaled into the lungs. During that product, it doesn't involve combustion of in similar ways that you would light a cigarette, but there is high intensity heat and vaporization of liquids, which do contain other chemicals that can potentially cause harm down the road.
Yeah. Now, the vaping, it can be, I presumably, a taste of tobacco, if that's the flavor that's added, but presumably also it can be, flavored with cherry or vanilla or other such things.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is one of the major concerns that we have in relation to vaping, in that it's presented in a way that is quite enticing for young people, and particularly children, teenagers, to take up vaping and e-cigarette smoking. So there are thousands of flavors. I think the last count is somewhere around 16,000 flavors, including those that you mentioned, that appear enticing to people to smoke and have a sort of a sickly smell when you can smell them later. This obviously, tobacco is a flavor that may not be as enticing to young people to smoke. And one of the things that I think where we would like the policy to go a little bit further is to ban the availability of flavors to children that are smoking also.
So even if there was no nicotine in it, for example, because some people could come out with a product which would develop, if you like, the habit of vaping, even though there would be no nicotine within, those flavors could develop the habit, which then could transfer after the age of 18 to nicotine consumption.
It's hard to say that in terms of, we know that nicotine is the highly addictive substance within vaping liquids, and we know that the concentration of nicotine is directly proportional to the take up of smoking. So I would certainly agree with you that if we reduce the content, the nicotine content within vapes, that would help in terms of reducing the likelihood that people would become addicted to it and continue to vape. There isn't many benefits to be had from vaping any liquid that contains a flavor, and really it's the marketing of these devices in such a way that that's using influencers and having it prominently displayed that entices young people to smoke and see it as a sexy sort of alternative to not smoking.
How many teenagers actually have taken up vaping, do we know?
Well, there's been several studies, and what we can certainly see is a significant growth in the prevalence of vaping amongst the youth. I think at the most recent count, we could see that about approximately half of our 16-year-olds have tried vaping, and somewhere between 15 and 18% of our 15 to 18-year-olds currently vape. There's some concerning data coming from the United States where we're seeing a significant increase in the amount of addictiveness of the vaping, as well as increased dependence, meaning that they're more likely to vape within the first few minutes of waking up. And I think some recent studies show that approximately 10% of teenagers or adolescents in the United States were vaping within minutes of waking up. And this really is concerning us in relation to hooking a new generation of young people onto nicotine-containing substances, which would lead to an increased prevalence of smoking. We can see that children who vape or youth that are vape are 3 to 5 times more likely to smoke.
Who are the people who are in this business? Are the old tobacco companies involved in this?
Well, yes. Over the last few years, we've seen a significant move in the market with a lot of the big names like Philip Morris, Altria, etc., moving in and buying the vaping companies. So they present it as an alternative to smoking in their own respects, and there is some false branding out there that or false narratives that would encourage people to take up vaping with a view that the companies wish to hook people on their vaping products and ultimately hook them on their cigarettes down the road. So this is a big money market. It's there's huge forces behind it, and many of the examples that we've seen and what we've learned from tobacco smoking have sort of been recapitulated in the vaping world. If you look at, for example, the availability of disposable vapes, where currently a child can go in and buy a disposable vape for a low amount of money and go off and smoke it. We banned single-use cigarettes many years ago and increased the amount of cigarettes that you had to buy to 20 to sort of prohibit or limit the exposure of people with limited resources to fund or purchase cigarette products. And I think something similar in vaping would be very welcome.
Is there any evidence that people are using vaping machines for the consumption, the evaporation of illicit drugs?
Yes, we know that we've seen this in the States recently, where there was a widespread public health emergency just before the onset of the COVID pandemic, actually, where thousands of young men and women were being admitted to intensive care units with vaping-induced lung injury. So this is where they were purchasing products that were available on the market. These products were generally for smoke inhalation of cannabis, and they contained oils that were very harmful to the lung. So as the heating element boiled these up to very high degree, high temperatures, people then inhaled those products into their lungs and developed severe lung injuries, and many of them ended up on life support and several died.
Finally, Emmett, what do you want the minister to bring in by way of regulation? How strict and how draconian do you want them to be?
Well, I think I do welcome the ban on the sale of vaping to the under 18s. I think that's a positive step. Ireland has for years been a policy leader in this area. We have lagged behind our colleagues, particularly in Europe of late, and I think we could go further. I'm a member of ASH, as you mentioned, and we've been advocating for a Tobacco 21 policy. And this has been brought in with a number of partners, where we're recommending that people... that the age of tobacco sale raises to 21 for both tobacco and for vaping products. It would also be beneficial to ban flavouring, as you mentioned, thousands of flavours, which particularly are focused on children, limiting the amount of advertising and the availability of vaping on influencers and social network platforms, changing of packaging and elimination of disposable vapes would all be welcome additions.
Yeah. The only one of those issues that would seem to be problematic is the age of 18. You can vote at 18. You can marry at 18. You can do lots of things at 18. You can certainly buy the other drug, popular drug, alcohol at 18. You know, you might have a very big constitutional issue at stake there, that full citizens of Ireland at age 18 would be prohibited from some activity until they were 21.
Yes, well, I suppose if you look at other states, this is not a constitutional issue or a rights issue. It's a public health issue or a policy issue.
It's also going to be a rights issue, you know. I mean, I know you see it from a public health perspective, but other people would see it as you can't discriminate. I mean, you can't discriminate on age grounds, on gender grounds, on all sorts of grounds. And this is certainly an age ground.
Yeah, there are a couple of things that you can't do until the age of 21. I don't believe you can run for European Parliament. You can't adopt a child. There are other things that you're prohibited from doing between the ages of 18 and 21 in Ireland currently. If you look internationally at what other countries have done, the USA have brought in a tobacco 21 policy where you're not able to purchase tobacco until the age of 21. And similarly, New Zealand are planning a similar one, as well as Australia and their advocacy in the UK. Okay. This is an international movement. It's not just Ireland, but we're moving towards tobacco endgame and eliminating tobacco. So we have to take these in steps. We can't just stop the sale of tobacco tomorrow, but small steps towards it, including today's announcement of the ban on the sale of vaping products to under 18s, are welcome moves in the right direction.
Okay. Dr. Emmett O'Brien, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.